This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Same as it was on Monday. You're not getting Billy Arnie's usual time slot. The show is Writer Than You, but because I'm here, Jody McDonald, filling in for him, we term it wronger than most others. But I'll try and be less wrong for you today over the next 2 hours. And if I am, you can call me on the carpet. Because, yes, I do enjoy talking to you guys. When I hop aboard, I like to hit the phones, 855-212-4227. I like to hear from you guys on Twitter. So if you want to shoot off a quick thought, quick tweet, do it at Jody McMahon. JodyMacMahon. We will punch up a guest for you. Got a good one planned for the top of hour number two. I'll give you the details on that in just a second. So no Bill today. That's the bad news. The good news is, some of you actually like me, and maybe you're going to stay tuned, and I thank you for that. But Bill Ryder is not out for the day. He's just out for this moment. He will be here in 2 hours, filling in for Jim Rome today on Romy's show. Ryder in the jungle. Jody Mac here with you for the next 2 hours. All right, so I was prepping to do today's show, and there's a lot we can sink our teeth into, a lot that's going on in the world of sports. And topics that I surely considered were the Olympics, Simone Biles withdrawing from competition, and then talking about the mental anguish that she's undergoing right now and not being able to do her best and stepping away, and the fact that I think we underrate how much pressure these athletes are on. And Olympics is even another level. We deal with the team sports world on a day-in, day-out basis. Players get to play games all the time, and then they get to the postseason. And then surely the pressure gets ratcheted up when you get to the postseason. Sports like golf and tennis, yes, it's an individual sport, so the pressure's on you. But if you don't win this tournament, then there's another tournament coming up the week thereafter, and the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that. And some are bigger than others, the majors on the golf and on the tennis tour. So there are varying amounts of pressure. But when you're an Olympic athlete, and oh, by the way, you've been put off for an entire year because of COVID-19 last season, so you're not building up to it for 4 years, you're building up to it for 5 years. Yeah, it does ratchet things up, and that's why I'm cutting Simone Biles a lot of slack. Not complete slack, and I'll certainly give you my thoughts on the whole thing. The fact that if Simone Biles wasn't the face of the Olympics this year, it was going to be Katie Ledecky, the great swimmer for the United States, who got beat both times in her first two races, had to settle for a silver and didn't even medal in her second event, did come back and won a gold in her third in the 1500 meter, which they had never had before. So, yeah, there's some Olympic things. I was up late night last night. I was on the air in Philadelphia till the wee hours of the morning. And, yes, I got to watch some of the Team USA beatdown of Iran live. Yeah, if they lost that game last night, then I'm thinking Coach Popovich would have been told, your plane ticket back to the United States has been canceled. You need to get back here on your own. We can put you on a slow boat from Tokyo if you want to come back to coach the Spurs next year. But they beat up on Iran the way they were supposed to. So there's a whole bunch of Olympic things that I certainly was considering. The NBA draft is now 30-some-odd hours away. Tomorrow night, NBA draft. Some conversation about teams being interested in maybe making a deal right at the top of the draft, which that's where the strength of this draft is. Most people think the top four, five, maybe six guys are all really highly thought of and can step right in and help a team next year. There's actually some conversations of some moves at the top, so I knew that was something we could certainly get into. Around the National Football League, camps are opening today. The Cowboys and the Steelers got to jump on everybody because they're playing in the Hall of Fame game, so they actually opened up last week. Basically, everybody else in the National Football League will open up either today at the very latest tomorrow. All teams have reported to their camps and checked in. Today will be the first workout for a bunch of teams. Some have already started. Some are getting their first workout in today. I think there's a handful that don't actually get their first workout until tomorrow. But the National Football League for 2021 is back. And there's a bunch of things I want to talk about that. But even weighing all of those, the thing that I came to as the number one topic that I wanted to talk about, and it is our guest, at least impartial, this upcoming next hour. The MLB trade deadline and trades in general. A couple of deals in baseball yesterday, a weird one between the Mariners and the Astros, two teams in the same division, basically fighting for the championship of that division. Astros have a pretty big lead. And yes, the A's are between the Mariners and the Astros, but they made a trade amongst each other, including the Mariners giving the Astros their closer, Kendall Graveman, who's a bit of a surprise to be a good closer, but has done a good job for the Mariners. It came as a surprise to me yesterday. And then a trade that fell apart between the Phillies and the Pirates. It was basically announced yesterday afternoon, and I was going to do a show last night. I did a show last night in Philly, and as we got closer to the start time of the Phillies game, the report came out. Well, it's not officially done yet. Even though we've been reporting it for hours now, it's not officially done. One of the Phillies minor leaguers, they were going to send. The Pirates didn't like the medicals that they received on the player, so they put a halt to the trade. And then late night last night, we find out that Tyler Anderson, the pitcher in question, who was going to go from the Pirates to the Phillies, had actually been shipped to the Seattle Mariners. So as soon as they rescinded the trade, they kept busy to try and make the deal. Phillies lost out on getting a viable starting pitching arm. Now, Tyler Anderson's okay. He's nothing special. He's a guy who's going to give you innings, and the way Major League Baseball is being played today, that's a pretty important aspect if a guy can go five or six or seven. Yeah, I'm old school. I'm old to begin with, but I'm old school too. Pitchers are supposed to be able to go into the seventh or eighth inning. Almost nobody does that anymore. So it's a whole new mindset you have to figure out in baseball. And our guest, John Heyman from CBS Sports, will hop aboard with us on the MLB Network a little bit later to talk about the trade deadline. But I want to talk about trades, not in the Major League Baseball trade deadline. We'll do that with Heyman later. But two trades that have been floated out there, or at least asking prices for top flight players over the last 24, 48 hours. Let me start with Deshaun Watson. I'm sure most of you know the story behind Deshaun Watson. He showed up for camp. Most people believed that that was not going to happen, that the Texans were going to get a little bit of a reprieve from the league, that Deshaun is being sued by 22 different individuals for sexual misconduct with masseurs throughout the entire Houston area. But as of yet, none of the suits have gotten into a courtroom. They've just been filed. There is an ongoing investigation by at least 10 of the individuals, I think 9 of which have filed suit, or 8 of which have filed suit, 2 of which just brought criminal complaints against Deshaun Watson but didn't join in on the civil suits against Watson. The Houston police investigation is still ongoing. The NFL's own investigation is still ongoing. And here's one of the issues with the investigation with the NFL. We've been down this road before. That the NFL cannot force a player to cooperate with their investigation. And in this case, and well within his rights to do so, Deshaun Watson has not talked to the NFL yet. The NFL has an ongoing investigation to one of their players and claims against him for sexual misconduct, but they haven't talked to him. Well, there's a very simple reason for it. he's begging off talking to the NFL until the criminal investigation is done, because he doesn't want to put himself in a bad spot by saying something that could be used against him in a criminal case. And yes, the criminal proceedings could include calling someone from the NFL to testify. Well, what did Deshaun Watson tell you? So Deshaun has said, listen, I would like to cooperate, but under advice of counsel, I can't cooperate right now. So they haven't even investigated Deshaun Watson. Therefore, the NFL said, listen, we can't take action against this guy yet. We don't have a finish to our investigation. So we are not going to put any restrictions on him. He can go to the Texans camp and do whatever he and the Texans want to do. I don't think the Texans want to do anything. I think the Texans wanted the NFL to act and say either suspend him, not enough evidence to be able to do so, or put him on the commissioner's exempt list, which would mean he could just stay at home. He would not be fined. He would not lose any of his salary, but the Texans would not have to deal with him being in their camp. That's the way most people thought, yours truly very much included, thought it was going to way it was going to shake out, because they had done it before in the NFL. If they didn't have definitive stance to take, well, we'll just put them on the commissioner's exempt list. The only person that's really hurt by that is, well, I guess Deshaun Watson could say he could be hurt because he wants to get out and play football. That's what he does. He's a football player. But the Texans could say, wait, we got to pay him and we can't. I think the Texans would sign off on that immediately, because they don't need him coming into camp and the media asking questions every single day with a new head coach. Well, what's going to happen with Deshaun? How do you handle Deshaun? Is Deshaun the quarterback going forward for this team? Or are you going to make a trade? They'd rather just not have to deal with it. And if Deshaun wasn't there and he was on the commissioner's exempt list, they could do that. So we sit where we sit. And the Texans decided to, let me think the exact word I want to use here, leak information about what their asking price might be. And they used Chris Mortensen of ESPN, a highly respected NFL insider, as the guy to disseminate the information. According to Chris Mortensen, the Texans would be willing to trade Deshaun Watson, and their opening asking price is going to be in the ballpark of five high draft picks. And, oh, by the way, maybe two other starting caliber players. So, in other words, 7-for-1 for Deshaun Watson. Now, Deshaun Watson is a top 5 or 6 quarterback in the league. He had an outstanding year last year for a rather poor football team that didn't have any defense whatsoever. But he put up amazingly good numbers, even though the Texans' overall record wasn't good. It wasn't because of Deshaun Watson. And he has proven himself to be one of the best young quarterbacks in the National Football League. So you can ask a high price for him if you're going to move him. Already signed. The Texans have paid a pretty good portion of that signing bonus already. So you're going to get him at below market rate for what his contract is for the next several years and what the best quarterbacks are getting, like a Patrick Mahomes, $45 million a year. Deshaun's in the low, he's 20 and change this year, and he'll go up to 30 and change next year. But he's still under what would be considered a league value, below value type contract. 7-for-1? Seven? 7-for-1 for a guy that you do or don't know if he's going to be able to play this year. Is there a suspension coming? Could he actually face jail time if they decide to press charges against him? You're kidding me, right? That's where you're going to set your opening foray and bar for a potential trade for Deshaun Watson? You want five high draft picks and two starting players for a guy whose future is to be determined? Are you crazy? Apparently, according to Chris Mortensen, that's what the Texans are looking for. And then this trade proposal came across last night. Matt Moore, who is a friend of the program, or at least mine on the weekends here on CBS Sports Radio, a very good NBA writer for the Action Network, floated this one yesterday, that the Philadelphia 76ers and their president, Daryl Morey, well-known former GM of the Houston Rockets, has done a nice job and is highly respected across the league, has admitted that they are willing to move away from Ben Simmons, When last we saw Ben Simmons, he was missing foul shot after foul shot after foul shot in the NBA playoffs this year and refusing to even shoot. In the final four games in the series between the Rockets and the Sixers, which the Atlanta Hawks and the Sixers, which Atlanta won in an upset in Philadelphia in Game 7, Ben Simmons in the final four games of that series took the same number of field goal attempts in the fourth quarter that you and I did. That would be zero. He did not take a shot in the fourth quarter of any of the last four games that the 76ers played in their seven-game ouster at the hands of the Atlanta Hawks. His shooting percentage from the foul line, which is usually pretty poor, in the low 60s, not good enough, decreased into the 30s in the NBA playoffs this year. He was a foul shot miss waiting to happen, and other teams put the hack of Ben situation in place, fouling him without the ball in his hands and just giving him the chance to make points on the foul line, and he would miss shot after shot after shot. So Ben Simmons' value probably lower than it has ever been in his NBA career coming off the really, really, really bad playoff run that he had this year. Well, Morey floated this one out to Matt Moore, that apparently the Toronto Raptors are interested in Ben Simmons. And Ben still does some things, has aspects to his game that are pretty damn good. He's one of the best defensive guards in the entire NBA. But his offense is very much in question at this time. Sixers are willing to deal him. Toronto's willing to listen. The first package that Daryl Morey asked for from the Toronto Raptors included OG Anunoby, young wing player, I think a lot of upside yet, potential all-star player. Ben Simmons has already been an all-star. Anunoby has not, but he could get there someday. Fred VanVleet, really good surprise second-round pick, flat-out scorer who helped Toronto win the championship just 2 years ago. Kyle Lowry in a sign-and-trade, multiple-time all-star, all-NBA talent, getting a little long in the tooth, and is going to be costly, but is still a stone-cold winner in the NBA. And, oh, by the way, we want you to throw in a draft pick. Let's make it your first-round draft pick. Let's make it the fourth overall pick in this year's NBA draft. So for Ben Simmons, whose value is lower than it's ever been before, the 76ers are asking for Anunoby, VanVleet, Lowry, and the number four pick in the draft? Are you kidding me? Daryl Morey is setting the bar unreasonably high. I said this to a buddy who repurposed the rumor and wrote an article about it on phillyvoice.com. A good friend of mine, Sixers beat reporter by the name of Kyle Newbeck. I said, I think the Sixers are going to have to add a second player to the deal. Like maybe Joel Embiid as the second player if they want to get that deal done. Why would general managers do something like that? The Texans general manager asking for a Kings, Queens, and everyone in the royal family ransom for Deshaun Watson, and a way over the top, and it can't even be done because of salary cap issues, but this is the way that Matt Moore put it together, that this was the type of package that the Sixers were looking for in exchange for Ben Simmons. Why do they do this? I'll give you an explanation. I'll give you a comparison that I think I can make when I come back. And, yeah, I'm kind of a guy who would know a little bit, seeing as I'm the son of a general manager. For those of you who don't know me well, big Rider fans, and don't catch me on the weekends here on CBS Sports Radio. My father, Joe McDonald Sr., was the general manager of both the New York Mets, the St. Louis Cardinals, and the Detroit Tigers in a 50-year career in baseball. I think I know the permutations of how deals work in professional sports. And I know I'm talking football and basketball here, and my father was a baseball GM. You'd be surprised how actually similar they are. I'll give you an analogy on what I think the Texans and the Sixers are trying to do when we come back. Jordy Mackin for Bill Ryder here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. I'll give you your chance to chime in. 855-212-4227. Mac Mann in for Ryder here on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Well, you don't have Billy R today. Mr. Writer is coming up in about an hour and a half here on CBS Sports Radio. He's filling in for Jim Rome this afternoon. So I'm in his stead here on the Writer Than You show. Jody Mack hanging with you for another hour and a half. Was analyzing slash bemoaning a couple of potential trades that have been put out into the ether by media types, one NFL, one NBA. The fact that the Houston Texans have now acknowledged they are considering trading Deshaun Watson with all of the issues Deshaun Watson is facing, you would think that the Texans would put out a realistic type ask if they really do want to move Deshaun Watson. Well, according to Chris Mortensen of ESPN, all they're looking for is 5 high draft picks and 2 starting caliber players. 7 for 1 for a guy who you don't know is going to get onto the field. If I were a betting man, I would bet good money he's going to be suspended for at least portion of this upcoming season. And he could miss the entire year and maybe into next year. So I don't quite understand what the Texans were doing when they floated that out there. And similarly in the NBA, that the Toronto Raptors and the Philadelphia 76ers have had conversations, and according to Matt Moore of the Action Network, the Sixers are willing to move Ben Simmons, and what they'd like from Toronto would include OG Anunoby, Fred VanVleet, do us a favor, get Kyle Lowry signed, and then ship him to us. And while you're at it, we'll take that 4th overall first-round draft pick that you're going to use on Thursday night. Asking for the moon, the stars, and the sun. Okay, good luck. I don't understand either of those 2 propositions. Sorry about that. And I was thinking about it last night, and I use this analogy on my Philly show. Let me share it with you. Do we have any poker players out there? Are any of you guys poker players? I like to play poker. I think I'm a pretty good poker player, as a matter of fact. I play in games with friends and stuff. Every once in a while, I'll enter a tournament. I haven't done one in a couple of years. But I'm the kind of guy who just likes to play regular poker rather than Texas Hold'em. I play Texas Hold'em, but if given the chance to choose one or the other, I'd rather play just regular poker than Texas Hold'em. But I understand the game and have competed in tournaments and cashed from time to time. If you're a Texas Hold'em player, you're in the middle of a game. The stack sizes of the player at the table with you are determined by how the team played this past year, which the Bucks coming off the championship would be considered the high stack. Even though the Lakers were bounced as quickly as they are, they've still got LeBron and AD, so they would be up there at chip count, as would the Nets with their big 3, assuming health next year of Harden and Durant and Kyrie. They'd be a pretty good chip stack size themselves. So would the 76ers, because they've got Joel Embiid and an asset like Ben Simmons and some good young players and a pretty good complimentary player like Tobias Harris. So the bet comes to Daryl Morey, and he's got his chip stack in front of him. And he says, I'll open with 10 times the ante, 10 times the pot size. Usually when you do that, you're trying to tell the rest of the table, oh, I've got a big hand. I've got aces. I've got kings. I've got a great twosome in my hand right now. The thing is that if you watch poker on TV, they'll actually show you what cards that the player has. They've got the whole cam. So you can see what a guy's got. for me, trying to trade Ben Simmons right now, the 76ers have about a 10-9 suited. It's not aces. It's not kings. It's not 2-7 either, which is the worst hand you can have. But it's about 8-9 suited. And usually with 8-9 suited, if you're betting 10 times the pot, that's a bluff. You are overplaying your hand. You're trying to get guys to try and drop around the table. I don't know that you really want to get called, and I don't know that Daryl Morey really believed he could get that kind of a return for Ben Simmons. And the same thing with Houston. They're going 20 times pot size, the ante, to open up the bidding for the services of Deshaun Watson. How can you think you can get 7-for-1 when you're trading a player who's got a lot of upside to him, has already established himself as a franchise quarterback in the league, is under contract for a fair number going forward? There's a lot of upside and good things about Deshaun Watson. Oh, there are some dark clouds floating over Deshaun Watson. And any team that is going to inquire him is going to have to know about those dark clouds and be able to deal with those and be okay with those dark clouds going forward. Do you think they're going to do all of that and give you 7 players in exchange for Deshaun Watson? I don't know that if – no, I just am spitballing on this off the top of my head. If, and I'm not suggesting that his personality would allow something like this to happen, if Patrick Mahomes, who I consider the best young quarterback in the National Football League, sorry, Brady fans, yeah, I know, the GOAT won the Super Bowl again this year and got the better of Mahomes. I'm sorry, who's the better quarterback? Who's younger? Who's got more skill sets still in his bag and his bag of tricks? Patrick Mahomes, he's the best young quarterback in the league. Sorry, Aaron Rodgers fans, you too, not as talented as Mahomes, older than Mahomes. I'm going to take Mahomes over every other guy. If he were in the same exact situation as Deshaun Watson, I don't believe I would give up 5 high draft picks and 2 starting caliber players for Patrick Mahomes. The biggest difference is Mahomes' contract is not as team-friendly as Deshaun Watson's is. So I think I'd pass on that deal for the best quarterback in the National Football League, let alone the 6th best quarterback. So are these general managers overplaying their hands? So I'm talking about this last night on my show in Philadelphia, and I got a call from a good caller, and he said, Jody, how do general managers handle when they get calls like this and someone makes an outrageous request, almost an insulting request? And I said, well, that's good, because I can tell you a story about it. My father told me one that happened with him when he was the general manager of the Cardinals. A general manager called him and proposed a trade, and my father thought it was ridiculous. Why would he give up what the general manager he was on the phone with was asking for? So he could have gotten his mad on. He could have fired back. He chose to handle it differently. And he said he did this on the fly. Although he was perturbed by the general manager underrating his players and overrating his own players that he was giving out in exchange, my father said, no, I'm going to pass on the offer you've made, but let me make a counter proposal. And he did, and he made as outrageous a counter proposal as the deal that he had first been presented. And he knew full well that it was ridiculous and outrageous, but he just wanted to make a point. And the other general manager said to him, are you kidding me? You think I'll give you this, that, and the other for what you're presenting? No chance, no shot. What are you talking about? And my father said, well, I could have done the same to your offer, but I have a little bit more common courtesy than that. So, in other words, you're overrating your players. You think I'm overrating my players. We've got nothing really to talk about, but thanks for the call. Boom, and he hung up on the guy. So it does happen from time to time. Everybody likes to play amateur GM. We know we can't play quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. We know we can't fly up and down the floor like Ben Simmons. But we all believe we could do the job as a general manager. And sports fans, do we not? I know I do, seeing as I did it from the time I was a little kid, talking to my father about deals that he was or wasn't going to make, conversation that he had or hadn't had. So I've been playing amateur GM since I was about 14, and I'm still doing it today. I'm going to give you the chance to play amateur GM with me. We'll hit the phones, coming back. John Heyman of MLB Network does some writing for FanSided as well. Our MLB Insider, Odyssey MLB Insider, is going to join us at the top of next hour. But hop on my phones here. You want to play amateur general manager. Any deals leading up to the NBA trade deadline, Major League Baseball with their deadline coming. You want to play amateur GM, do it with me on my phone. 855-212-4227. All right, bottom of the hour. We got to get you our first CBS Sports update of the day, at least on my show. Oh, look who's in. This is a guy I've done the morning show with a couple times of late. Good morning, Andrew Bogus.
Jody, good morning. Good to see you. Good to hear you, I guess. Not see, unfortunately. Headlines are sponsored by the Oxford Gold Group, buying real gold and silver, the kind you can hold in your hands. It's much easier than you think. Just call the Oxford Gold Group right now at 833-899-GOLD to get your free gold and silver investment guide. We will hear from Aaron Rodgers on his return to Green Bay later today, but first, it's his GM, Brian Gutekunst. He admits this morning there were communication lapses on all sides during the offseason. Now it's up to all of them to make sure the distraction ends before the season begins. Meanwhile, Randall Cobb posting on social media, he's officially being traded from Houston to Green Bay as Rodgers wanted. Deshaun Watson is on the field as we speak as the Texans hold their first training camp practice. As Jody said to start the show, the NFL said yesterday there are no restrictions on Watson right now, despite his serious legal troubles. Simone Biles has now withdrawn from tomorrow's individual all-around final to continue working on her mental health. Biles could still compete in the individual event finals, which begin on Sunday. She qualified for all four of those events. Men's basketball looked the part overnight, routing Iran 120-66, evening its record in Tokyo at 1-1. A win on Saturday against the Czech Republic clinches a spot in the medal round. The U.S. women just won the very first gold in 3-on-3 basketball with a victory over Russia, and Katie Ledecky won her first gold in Tokyo in the first ever 1500-meter freestyle. It came about an hour after she failed to medal in the 200 free. That was her first Olympic race without a medal. Ahead of Friday's trade deadline, the Mariners dealt reliever Kendall Graveman to the Astros yesterday, angering the Seattle clubhouse and leaving Graveman in tears.
I love those guys. So that's the message that I want to leave. Is outside of baseball, I told a lot of them, I don't care how you perform on the field. I love you as a person. And for me, sorry, I'm a little emotional, but man, that goes further than anything.
Graveman has a sub-1 ERA, and the Mariners in playoff contention, so dealing him has confused people, angered people, broken hearts, apparently. GM Jerry DePoto says the deal will lead to others, and then things might make sense. Seattle did acquire lefty starter Tyler Anderson from the Pirates last night. The Mariners and Astros also played a game yesterday, Houston winning 8-6. The Angels losing to the Rockies 12-3. Shohei Ohtani, homer number 36. The White Sox topped the Royals 5-3. The Yankees 4-3 winners in Tampa Bay. A Cody Bellinger throwing error allowed the tie-breaking run to score bottom eight. The Giants a 2-1 win for a three-game lead on LA in the NL West. The Padres down the A's 7-4, and the Brewers blanked the Pirates 9-0. Alex Ovechkin re-signed with the Capitals yesterday, 5 years and $47.5 million. And Penguins head coach Mike Sullivan will coach Team USA in the Olympics in February in Beijing. Jody, back to you.
All right, Andrew, one question for you. Over the next 24, 48 hours, what is going to grab your attention most? The upcoming NBA draft, the ongoing Olympics, and some of the drama that has presented itself there, not all good for Team USA, that we may or may not have been banking on, and or the opening of the NFL camps and the drama around certain quarterbacks by the name of Rodgers and Watson. Which is the most compelling story in Andrew Bogus's mind?
Yeah, I guess it's going to be football because it's just so front and center. Although I feel like when we get past today and Watson's at practice and doing things, and Rodgers is back and he talks, like, we should be able to kind of put those to bed to a certain extent and move forward. But there will always be something from the NFL. Plus, they've got that gimmicky, everybody's working out together simultaneously, basically on Saturday. So they're going to jam it down our throats over the next 3 or 4 days that they're back on the field.
We will be watching the NFL Network on Saturday. You're right about that. That is Andrew Bogish. He comes in and gets us updated on everything at the bottom of every hour. I need you on my telephone lines to round out the rest of this hour. John Heyman, Odyssey MLB insider, will join us at the top of hour number two. But let me hear from you. 855-212-4227. Jody Mack in for Bill Ryder here on Ryder Than You on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Ryder Than You podcast.
Jody Mack in for Billy R. on this Wednesday get-together here on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking about CBS on the TV side, this weekend, plenty of sports for everyone. Starting on Saturday, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, summer hoops in the Big Three. Then on Sunday, 2 Eastern, 11 Pacific, kick back on your couch and watch some of the fittest athletes compete against each other at the CrossFit Games. Yeah, you won't be seeing me out there. That's pretty much a given. The CrossFit Games followed at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific by Major League Rugby Championships. It's all coming this weekend on CBS. Jody Mack here with you on CBS Sports Radio. All right, again, phones open. Know that Billy doesn't take a lot of calls, but I do on the weekends in case you haven't caught me yet. New name, new voice to you. I'm on Saturdays a little later in the day. On both coasts, 10 p to 2a on the East Coast, which makes me 7 to 11 for you West Coasters on Saturday nights. And then Sunday a little earlier, 6 to 10 East Coast time, which makes it 3 to 7 out there for you guys on the West Coast. Yeah, I like talking to the peeps. I open my phones each and every single weekend, and I got them open today. If you want to make a quick call, do so. John Heyman, Odyssey Baseball Insider, scheduled to join us at the top of the hour to talk about the Major League Baseball trade deadline. A couple of deals yesterday. Couple, I'll be honest with you, I don't quite understand. Maybe Heyman can enlighten me when we punch him up. But if you want to hop on board, do it now, 855-212-4227. Olympic stuff. I filled in for Billy on Monday and here again today. I was not on the air yesterday when Simone Biles had as tough a time as she did competing in the team aspect of the women's gymnastics. And she withdrew from the competition, which came as a shock to basically everyone. Simone Biles was, at least per my looking at it, and I follow the Olympics pretty closely. I wouldn't say I know every single competitor in every single event and know where the U.S.'s best chances to medal would be and the like, but I know gymnastics is a highly popular Olympic sport and always does good ratings-wise. After the Olympics she had 5 years ago, people were calling her the greatest Olympic gymnast of all time. She was so good and so dominant, and they expected her to be similarly medal-winning again in this Olympics, and that has not been the case. And when she did not perform well in the team events, she withdrew in the middle of them. Came as a major surprise, and it ended up compromising the Team USA chances, and they did not win the gold medal in the team. Instead, they had to settle for silver with the Russian Olympic Committee winning the gold. A lot of people questioning and critical of Simone Biles, and to her credit, she has done her media responsibilities, and she has explained her actions as she just couldn't mentally be able to do what she thought she needed to do, basically knew she needed to do, and she wasn't up to it. She just felt that the pressures and the responsibilities and so much built up on her that it just robbed her of her ability to compete at the highest level she ever has and her own level of competition. It was disappointing if you're an American Olympic fan. I feel very badly for Simone Biles that this happened and that she felt so moved and motivated that she needed to step away during the competition. I will give her a lot of credit in that if something like that happened to me and I knew full well that the eyes of the country were upon me, and I couldn't do what I was supposed to do and what I was expected to do, and that I chose to walk away, I would probably have gone and run and hid and just been back in my hotel room and not wanting to talk to or be seen by anyone. To Simone Biles' credit, she stayed there with her team. She put on like an Olympic hoodie because she wasn't going to compete anymore. And she cheered on her teammates. She got out there and was still part of the team to root her teammates home, despite the fact that she wasn't capable of competing in her own mind. I thought that showed a lot of character by Simone Biles that she did that. But people are questioning, how can someone like her step away? This is what it's all about, the competition. You competed before 5 years ago, and you did so at the highest level that maybe any gymnast ever had. Why couldn't you do the same again here? Well, things change, and expectations change, and people's lives change. A couple of things that I will point out that Simone Biles is going to have to continue to answer to is she did mention that her sponsor obligations were something that took a toll on her. Well, that's something that she chose to do. Now, in the sport of gymnastics, it's not like the other sports that we watch all the time, basketball, football, baseball, hockey, where they make millions of dollars, and there are millions of dollars in available funds, either for your salary and or, if like on the tours of the PGA and the golf, that the purses that you play for, yes, the way that you make money in gymnastics is through your sponsors. So it's kind of an obligation that you have to take. You can't really shy away from if you want to make this your profession, and certainly someone like Simone Biles has done that with gymnastics. But it is something that you chose to do. It isn't something that is forced on you that you have to do. She chose to do it. And she noted that her obligations were something that had added to her inability to be able to perform because it just weighed on her as much as it did. That is unfortunate, but that is what athletes in her sport have to do and have to deal with. And she wasn't up to the challenge. If you're looking at her overall body of work for her entire career, when we look back and try and put Simone Biles into a historic perspective, yes, this is going to weigh against her. Even if we understand it, even if we can wrap our head around it and comprehend it and say, yes, we get it and we acknowledge that it can happen to a person, it's those that rise above it that are considered the GOATs of their sport. And Simone Biles was considered by many to be the GOAT in women's gymnastics, not only now, but maybe of all time. Well, I think all time has gone by the boards with what happened to her here and the decision that she made. I think she comes out of the conversation of the greatest gymnast of all time. That's her legacy. If she doesn't care about her legacy, I know we care about it. Shoot, I spend way too much time here on CBS Sports Radio and any other broadcast outlet I may be on talking about who's the GOAT. How many phone calls I've fielded, how many guests I've had on, how many conversations I've had at my local bar or Wawa or whatever else. Is Tom Brady the GOAT? He surpassed Joe Montana. No one is even, oh, the next GOAT. The only one who's got a chance at him is Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, we just do it to death on Sports Talk Radio and just hanging out with your sporting friends. It's a very easy conversation to have, and it can be a very fun conversation to have. So to dismiss it and say, well, what does legacy really mean? Some people will tell you legacy is everything because, yes, you have your individual seasons. You try and win your championships, but at the end of the day, at some point, you're going to call it a career, and then you're going to worry and wonder about your legacy, Hall of Fame status, and or debate status as to whether you are, quote-unquote, a GOAT. Yeah, Simone Biles chose yesterday, and I'm sure she understands this and knows this, that she comes out of the conversation for GOAT because GOATs don't walk away when the going gets tough. I feel really badly for her. I will give her credit for handling it the way that she did. She stepped away. She knew all of what came with her stepping away and the fact that she stayed and rooted for her teammates. I give her a ton of credit for. But she certainly compromised her legacy with the decision that she made. Rather than beat up on Simone Biles, and I have read and seen some people who are doing just that, which I think is kind of tells you something about their character as much as it does about Simone Biles' character deciding to step away while she did. Instead, I'd rather look at athletes who do continue to make their statement on a year-in, year-out basis. And most recently, there's one guy that comes to mind who put himself in a position to raise his standard as far as his legacy goes. And I'm referring to Giannis Antetokounmpo, who did what he did for the Milwaukee Bucks to raise them to a championship level in a town where they had not won a championship in 50 years. The last time the Milwaukee Bucks won a championship, a guy by the name of Lou Alcindor, who, oh, by the way, should be in the GOAT conversation. Yes, I know we debate all the time between Michael and LeBron, but Lou Alcindor is one of the greatest players of all time. Of course, he became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and was a dominant force in the NBA for decades. Yeah, that's the last time they had a GOAT in Milwaukee. We didn't know at the time that Lou Alcindor was going to become a guy we would consider a GOAT, but he surely did. That's what it took for Milwaukee to win another championship, for Giannis to step up and have a GOAT-like performance. What he did in the NBA Finals goes right up there with LeBron a couple of years ago, with the Cavs coming back from down 3-1. Michael and his run winning the fourth championship that he won with the Bulls, some of his NBA Finals were off the charts too. But what Giannis did can be comped to any of those. It might be the greatest Finals performance, two 40-point games, and he threw in a 50 to close it out. That's pretty damn impressive. And, oh, by the way, the pressure was on Giannis. He signs the mega contract. He decides to stay in Milwaukee. Oh, by the way, in the year, well, Milwaukee, which, of course, is just outside Green Bay, is dealing with one of the GOATs, Aaron Rodgers, potentially walking away from the Packers while they were making the run. The conversation was still about Aaron Rodgers is never going to play for the Packers again. We know it's since changed since Milwaukee won that championship, but how about rather than getting all worried or angst about Simone Biles, why don't we just give credit to a guy like Giannis and what he accomplished? All right, Jody Mackin for Bill Ryder. Start of hour number two, we're going to be joined by John Heyman, Odyssey MLB insider. Trade deadline coming up in just a couple of days. How much action are we going to see? John Heyman will tell us here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Ryder Than You podcast.
Filling in for Mr. Ryder on this Wednesday get-together here on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, by the way, Ryder fans, Bill's coming up in an hour from now. He's filling in for Jim Rome. So I'll keep you company for the next 60, live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios when you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. All right, although math is not my strong suit, I can do this math. The MLB trade deadline is 4 o'clock on Friday. So we're at 11 o'clock Eastern as of right now. That's 2 days. That's 48 hours plus 5 hours, 53 hours from now, the MLB trade deadline will have hit, and teams are going to have to work that much harder through waivers to be able to get players to help them make playoff runs if that is the case. Here to give us some insight on exactly what will or won't come down over the next 53 hours is one of the best baseball insiders we know. Joining the show is Odyssey MLB insider and Major League Baseball Network insider John Heyman. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. John Heyman joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How are you, JH?
Good. How are you, Jody?
Good. I tried to put it in a time perspective for our listeners that we still got 53 hours to go, but these hours come and go pretty darn quickly. Give us your read on the run-up to the trade deadline. The deals that we've seen so far, have they surprised you? Are they deals that made sense? Did something jump off the page that you didn't see coming? How would you describe the run-up to the last couple of days before the trade deadline?
Well, I would say you'd have to be surprised a little bit by the Padres getting another super utility guy in Adam Frazier. At least that's what they're calling him. They already had Profar and Kim in that role, and they have a lot of depth to begin with in positional front. So a little bit of a surprise, but it's never a surprise when A.J. Preller makes a big deal. He was the most aggressive last trade deadline getting Clevinger and the most aggressive by far in the winter. So, I mean, that's just his MO. That's the way the Padres operate. And I guess we should never be shocked by what he does.
If you are a Padre fan, you have to be happy because, to use another poker analogy, be the second poker analogy for me today, they do push all their chips into the middle of the table. The Padres are in a win-now mode and going for it all, yet they find themselves in third place in the NL West. Do you think that they will improve? Do you think that they can win that division? Are they going to catch either the Giants or the Dodgers? What has A.J. Preller's aggression got him with 50 games to go?
Well, he's got a great team. That's one. I don't think they're going to win that division. I could be wrong, but I don't think the Giants are a fluke. I've seen the odds, and I'm not a betting man, but if I'm playing the odds, I would go with the Giants at this point. I think they're really good. I mean, I don't think after 100 games we're talking about a fluke situation. So that would be my read on it. That said, the Padres are very good. I'd anticipate them being in a one-game playoff, which is, of course, dicey, particularly if you're going to be playing against a Gausman or a Bueller, or you're going to be facing some great pitcher in that playoff. But, you know, I just admire the Padres' M.O. I've got to give them credit. At the moment, anyway, their payroll is higher than the Yankees' payroll. So we never thought we'd say that or see that in any way.
Yeah, credit to the Padres for their aggressiveness. All right, let's stay in that West and mention those San Francisco Giants who, yes, the fluke consideration must be gone. It's got to be done by now, even if you believed it and or you had the Giants nowhere competing in that division this year. Guilty as charged. They are for real, and they have done what they've done and should get credit for it. Are they going to rest on their laurels, though, that they have the best record in baseball and they've shocked the world with what they've done? And they've had guys like Buster Posey reemerge as one of the best catchers in the game, and Crawford, their shortstop, playing all-star level ball. Are they going to say, yeah, why? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Or do you think they will make an aggressive move like the Padres here in the next couple of days to make sure they stay atop the NL West?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're going to make an aggressive move. You know, I mean, they see the situation that they're in. They know they're really good at this point, but why not try to be better? So they've certainly been connected to Marte from the Marlins, who will be dealt. I do believe the Giants have the type of prospects to possibly get that deal done. You know, we've heard Houston and the Yankees at least are in that as well, but you know, I wouldn't bet against the Giants there. And we know that they're in the Scherzer mix, which is, at this point, the most interesting story going. The whole Mets sale, you know, they were on dual paths for about 3 days, and now we know what path they're on. They're in sell mode, and, you know, Max Scherzer is seen as by far the most impactful player or pitcher out there. And, you know, he's gone from a 5% chance to be traded to probably a 90% chance. And I only leave that extra 10% out because he's got the no trade and he can decline deals. But they're in a much better situation than, let's say, the Tigers were a few years ago with Verlander, where folks thought he was overpaid and were skeptical and didn't realize that Verlander was getting a second wind in his career. And Houston took advantage and helped them win the World Series. There were other reasons they won, as we know by now, but certainly the Verlander pickup was a major boon, and they wouldn't have won without him. Right now everybody's looking at pitching, and feels like the pitching is going to be overpays, and the position players, so many star position players on the market, and there just isn't a real calling for them at this point. I mean, we may see guys that we consider superstars like Story and Bryant and Baez going for what will look like a song, or perhaps they'll even be kept just for the draft choice at this point. They're not coveted. You know, to me, it's might be worth taking a flyer on one of these guys that we know has been great, and just because there just isn't a need in terms of, you know, supply and demand for them at this point, might be good to buy low and try to pick up a Story or a Bryant or a Baez. I mean, Gallo, there are about 10 real stars or position players who are out there on the trade market.
You did a great job of explaining the difference in supply and demand between pitching and the regular everyday players. If overpays is what it's going to take to get pitching, Max Scherzer's got to be the top available guy. Oh, there's only one. How many Cy Youngs? Two, three championships? Yeah, he's kind of done it all. And is still at the top of his game right now. What is Washington going to be able to get? How high is high? Even though it is purely as a rental, he's a free agent at the end of the year, and you know his agent is going to put him in the best position to cash again this upcoming offseason. What are the Nats going to be able to get for him if he okays the trade to whatever trade is willing to meet their price?
Well, right now with the situation such as it is with the Dodgers, Padres, and Giants, among many others known to be in the mix, those are his preferred teams. You know, I think that this should be one of the rare cases where someone gives up a big-time prospect. We saw it with Gleyber Torres traded for Chapman, a rental, just like Scherzer is. And teams do not like to give up big prospects. But, I mean, if you're the Giants, the Dodgers, the Padres, and you think he's going to one of your two main competitors, I think you're going to be I think you're going to have some incentive to give up a big prospect. And so I think that the Nats are going to make a big deal for a guy that absolutely needs to be traded at this point.
Which team is best suited to be able to come up with that prospect or prospects to be able to get their hands on Scherzer, San Diego, San Francisco, or L.A.?
Yeah, I mean, I think all three teams have good enough prospects to get it done. I would maybe even look more at who's more motivated. You know, I mean, obviously AJ Preller, nobody's more aggressive than him. But in this case, you know, we got to figure Trevor Bauer is probably not going to be seen for the rest of the year, at least not in a Dodger uniform. You know, I'm not prejudging that case, but it certainly doesn't look good at the moment. And you hear that the teammates don't want him back and the fans probably don't want him back. And he's probably gone for the year, just being realistic. I got to think the motivation is really high for the Dodgers. And they do have some very good players, young players to trade.
All right. And John Heyman, our MLB insider for Odyssey here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Insider, making the insider call for us. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smart and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. All right. I have a couple more questions for you on trades that haven't happened yet. But I got to ask you about one that did happen yesterday. A trade between the Mariners and Astros. They're doing battle in the AL West. They're playing each other, as a matter of fact. And the Mariners traded their closer, Kendall Graveman, to the Astros. It didn't figure for me. I didn't understand it. Their general manager said afterwards, well, there are more trades to come. And when all is said and done, maybe we'll be able to explain to you what exactly what we were thinking. I understand Abraham Toro, the young infielder that the Mariners got, is someone they like a lot, but he hasn't proven himself to be a everyday, even star potential infielder. What was Seattle thinking in giving up their closer with a sub-1 ERA?
You don't understand it. I don't understand it. And most importantly, their players do not understand it. I mean, I heard there were players in tears over this trade. I mean, this team had the best mojo. I mean, I don't think it's the best team. Their run differential is about a negative 50, but I mean, they're on a great run. They'd won four in a row. They had that stirring comeback against the Astros, the team you just referenced, and they did not deserve this. They deserved some good news. And, Graveman has been the most unhittable closer in the game with a whip of about 0.6, an ERA about 0.8. To send this message was absolutely not the right thing to do. You know, we can all appreciate analytics, and certainly Jerry DePoto, their GM, is big into analytics. But, I mean, he's one of the rare GMs now that is not just cut from that Ivy League, standard that it seems to be the case where most of the GMs are Ivy Leaguers. He is a former major league player who should understand about the club as the analytics. Just very poorly timed trade. Makes no sense to me. And, may have killed their mojo. I mean, that's the best thing they had going for them. They had a great team concept that was banding together, and why interrupt that and trade your closer? You know, I mean, to me, that's, and it's particularly for a team that hasn't been to playoffs in 2 decades. Very, very short-sighted, you know. Didn't make any sense.
I'm glad that you didn't understand it, because I didn't understand it, so I thought it was me. But it's not me. It's the general manager of the Mariners who didn't understand what he was doing. But he says we're all going to understand by the time we get to the trade deadline.
Yeah, as they say, it's not you, it's me.
Yeah, it's me, exactly. I do want to ask you about one specific division. I already asked you about the NL Central. How about the NL East? The Mets are on top as of right now, although they've got major pitching issues. They're getting a couple of guys back and healthy, and Conforto and McNeil, which will help some with their bats because their offense has been pretty putrid all year long. But they've got the lead in that division. The Phillies are a 500 team. The Braves are right around a 500 team, one game below, even though they beat up on the Mets last night. Someone has to win that division. I think the Braves, the Phillies, and the Mets can all claim that they believe they can win that division. You mentioned how all the teams in the NL West are watching each other and competing against each other to add a big piece. How are the three teams in the NL East, even though they are well below the three teams in the NL West, how are they all going to play against each other? Will aggressiveness leading up to the trade deadline make the difference in whoever's going to win that division and get a spot in the playoffs?
Yeah, could. We have clarity now. The Mets are going for it, as we know. We knew that forever. But the Braves, well, they traded for Peterson early. It appeared they could have gone either way, and they are clearly going to go for it. And the Phillies are going to be aggressive. They said that, and they almost made a deal yesterday, and they are going to make some deals for some pitching, particularly relief pitching, certainly a starter as well. So the Nats, we know they're a seller now, not only a seller, but a big seller. So, I mean, the Braves are an interesting one to me. I mean, they lost their best player, Acuna, their best pitcher, Soroka. Ozuna is probably gone for the year. The catcher has been injured for the year. They have another pitcher who hurt himself in a fit, and he's been out, and they're still hanging around. So they're a buyer. We'll see how aggressive they'll be, but they are a buyer. The Phillies right there with them are going to be an aggressive buyer. They hired Dave Dombrowski. He doesn't come in to rebuild. You know, they have the pieces to get it done, but, you know, they've got some issues. Obviously, as we know, their fielding is terrible and their bullpen is even worse. But they can really help themselves with some trades. That said, I think it's fair to say that the Mets, with the lead, are the favorite. You know, their pitching is very good, and presuming DeGrom comes back, you know, they're a clear favorite, I think.
Yeah, they got to get DeGrom healthy. If they do, they are the favorite because of where they are in the standings, but that would certainly solidify that position. All right, one last baseball question for you. Non-trade deadline related. Sticky stuff on pitchers' fingers. MLB took the stance that they did at the beginning of the year, that they knew that teams were complaining about it, hitters were complaining about it, the pitchers were using extra stuff to get a better grip. They certainly sent a memo out in spring training. They're going to be on the lookout for it. Yet they allowed the pitchers to use all this stuff for the first several months of the season. The rumblings were getting loud again behind the scenes. So they came out with a statement that they're going to crack down and they're going to give their umpires latitude to throw guys out of games. And it's going to include a 10-game suspension for the players where the team cannot replace the players, so they'd be hurting their team. They gave the pitchers 2 solid weeks to get used to throwing without the junk before they decided to start to check them on the mound, both going off the field and on the field. They only caught one guy. Out of all that buildup, one person decided, or at least as per what Major League Baseball decided, there was enough evidence there to say, yes, he should have been tossed, and yes, he was suspended for 10 games. Did MLB get what it wanted out of this? Did they play this hand correctly, John? The offensive numbers have gone back up, and then pitchers have not been as dominant as they were prior to them cracking down on using more illicit stuff while they're out there on the mound. Did it work out the way that Rob Manfred thought it was going to work out or wanted it to work out?
Well, you said it, Jody. The offensive numbers have gone back up. There's been more action in the game. We've seen, boy, a lot of comebacks. A lot of teams, the Mets had 2 in a row where they had a 6-game a six-run lead and blew it, and then they were down six, and they came back and won. And they're not the only team that's done that lately. You know, that was the objective. It wasn't to throw guys in the penalty box. And obviously, if it was to throw guys in the penalty box, it's been zero because basically they got one guy. And, you know, I think he's still appealing it, Santiago, and that's it. But, I mean, the big picture was to get more offense in the game and to get more action. So I at this point, I think, you know, as much as we love to criticize MLB, you'd have to say it's a success.
JM, great stuff. Johnny Heyman here with us. Always a pleasure, my friend. Is your cell phone charged? Are you at 100%? Because I know you're going to be on it all day long.
I got a supercharger. All I have to do is, I have to say, I don't even know who makes it, but as soon as I plug it in, it moves from like 0 to 100 in 10 seconds. I got that going for me.
I got to get one of those.
I'm going to need it.
You will be living with that charger these next couple of days. John, always a pleasure. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Good talking to you, Jody.
That is John Heyman, our Odyssey MLB Insider. Insider calls presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. Jody Mack here with you on CBS Sports Radio, in for Billy R. Mr. Writers in for Mr. Rome coming up at the top of the hour, but I still got 40 minutes left to make the most of. Could use your help on the phones. We can talk about the trade deadline, Simone Biles, Team USA getting a much-needed win if they had lost. What would have been a fallout if they got beat by Iran last night? Although the U.S. now leads the medal count in both gold and overall medals, there have been some disappointments in this Olympic Games. Team USA could be a big one, but they did get the win that they needed last night against Iran. So all things in play. You tell me what it is you want to touch base on my telephone lines. 855-212-4227. Jody Mack for Bill Ryder here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Ryder Than You podcast.
Yeah, I too have 99 problems, but filling in for Bill Ryder is not one of them. Jody Mack here. Billy's coming up in a little over half an hour from now. He's in for Jim Rome, so if you're not Ryder fans, he will be along. I've got you for another half an hour and change. And what we've got right now is a Ryder staple, something that he does on a day-in, day-out basis that we call buy or sell. I asked this of my producer prior to filling in for Bill on Monday. I said, Tom, do you give me the buys or sells ahead of time? He said, oh, yeah, Jody, I'll send them to you. And he did. And I thought about it, and I never clicked open the email. I said, no, I'm going to give him my first thought off the top of my head. I trust Bill that he's not going to have something outrageous that I'm going to go, and have no idea what he's talking about. So I said, no, I'm not even going to look at what the buy or sells are. I didn't again today. We'll see if I embarrass myself or if I can do a good job fielding the topics that Tommy D has come up with. All right, Tommy, what do you got for me for buy or sell today?
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Ryder Than You.
All right, Jody, let's get right to it. Yesterday, 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan met the media and gave the team and the media his approach on how to handle the quarterbacks, Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance, this season.
Jimmy's going through OTAs, what he's done. I mean, he's our best quarterback in the building right now. So he'll start out training camp that way, and we got three other guys behind him. We're going to give Trey the first chance, obviously, as the backup. And anytime a guy's playing a lot better than the guy in front of him is when you start to split reps up with that team and start to talk about it. But, Trey's had seven practices with us, and haven't seen him for 40 days. So not thinking about that right now. Just having Jimmy go in, he's our starter.
It's not a competition. It's Jimmy is the starter. He'll take starter reps, and then you mix the other guys in as you normally would.
Yes, yeah, there's no open competition right now in terms of they're getting equal reps with the same group. Jimmy's coming in as the one. Jimmy and Trey's coming in as the two.
All right, Jody, buy or sell the 49ers' approach to their quarterback situation this season?
Damn, you mean Nate Sudfeld's got no chance? Is that what you're telling me, Coach Shanahan, with that kind of attitude? No, I'm buying because
buy.
I do not believe Trey Lance is ready to step in and play in game number one. coming from the subdivision. That's asking an awful lot of a kid. They aggressively moved up to get him, so he will be the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. It's just not going to be opening day, and it may not be at all this year. It didn't kill that Mahomes guy to wait till week 17 to play in his rookie season. Yeah, I'm buying completely what Shanahan is doing. Now, is Garoppolo going to be good enough to win that division? I think that's easily the best division in football is the NFC West this year. Between Seattle, Stafford to the Rams, San Francisco getting healthy, and I like the Cardinals. Everyone's picking the Cardinals for last. I don't know that that's going to happen. So, yes, Garoppolo's got his work cut out for him, but being handled absolutely correctly by the 49ers.
All right, speaking of quarterbacks, the Denver Broncos do have an open competition between last year's starter Drew Lock and newcomer Teddy Bridgewater. Despite training camp just opening this week, Broncos head coach Vic Fangio said yesterday that the quarterback evaluation has already begun. Quote, ideally, you like to make that decision sooner rather than later, but we're going to let that decision be made for us, hopefully. And whenever it happens, it happens. End quote. Buy or sell that the Broncos need to name their starter before preseason begins.
Yeah, no, I'd sell that.
Sell.
It'd be great if you had that much confidence in your practice. Here's the reason why I got to sell that. That's malarkey. NFL practices ain't what they used to be, okay? Every time they have a new collective bargaining agreement, the players think they're going to get more money out of the owners, and the owners just continue to say, well, but we'll just give you something else and make your life easier. Less practice, less physicality at practice, less days you have to be at practice. The days of really true grinding two-a-days in the NFL in the summer to determine who's going to play, they don't even exist. So how are you going to tell me that you can decide who's going to be the quarterback? Unless you already know, which the coach may know that already, and he just doesn't want to tell anybody and wants to put up a facade about competition. No, you can't decide just in practice. You have to at least give them a look in preseason to decide if they are supposedly that close, and I think they are. Oh, by the way, I don't know that either one of them is good enough to get them anywhere near 500. But I'm selling that. No, in no way they're going to make the decision before preseason starts.
All right, Jordy, let's get to some NBA here. Former Spurs guard and all-star DeMar DeRozan was a recent guest of Shannon Sharpe's Club Shay Shay podcast and gave his take on what it would be like to sign with his hometown Lakers in free agency this summer.
You can't ask no kid if they want to play home, they'll say no. You know what I mean? At some point, you definitely want to have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And especially if they want you, why not?
Right.
Why not?
Right.
You know, it's a great opportunity.
Buy or sell that adding DeMar DeRozan would make the Lakers the best team in the Western Conference next season?
I like DeRozan. I think he's a really good player. People, I think, get on his case too much because he was the guy who was supposed to replace Kawhi Leonard and surely wasn't capable of doing that down there in San Antonio. I still think he's a top flight player. I think he's made all pro for a second or third team 3 years running. Because he's in San Antonio, small market, they haven't had a playoff run. People don't realize that he was a first, second, third team all-pro player in Toronto before he got to San Antonio, and he's stayed on that level since he got there. He'd be huge. If you add him to LeBron and AD, that would be huge for the Lakers. Yeah, I would probably make them the overall favorite in the West, so I would say I buy that.
Buy!
All right, sticking with the NBA, the Detroit Pistons hold the number one pick in tomorrow night's draft, but reportedly the Houston Rockets, who have the number two pick, are interested in moving up to select former Oklahoma State product Cade Cunningham. The Rockets are going through an obvious rebuild, having traded James Harden, PJ Tucker, and Victor Oladipo last season, which culminated in finishing with the worst record in the NBA last season at 17-55. Buy or sell that it makes sense for the Rockets to trade up to the number one pick?
Oh, makes sense? Oh, that's an absolute buy.
Buy!
Completely agree with the Rockets attempting to do it. Good luck. Not happening. They can say it. They can leak it out there to the press. They can put it into the NBA ether. Not happening. I had Ed Stefanski on my show this weekend, the assistant to the president of basketball operations for the Pistons, and he would not tip his hand. I tried to get him to tip his hand. He wouldn't do it for me. Yeah, I could read by Ed's voice. Now I'm really stretching it here. I'm reading a guy's voice on the radio. They're taking Cade Cunningham. Ed Stefanski is not going to let the Pistons make a mistake of letting Cade Cunningham get out of their grasp. He's the best player in the draft. He's the player that gives you the best chance to get a franchise-changing talent. I think that highly of Cunningham. I think the Pistons do as well. Houston can profess their love for him. I don't think they have what it takes to get to number one, and I don't think there's any way Detroit's trading out of it.
All right, Jody, last question here. Let's finish up with some college football. With Texas and Oklahoma formally announcing their intent on joining the SEC, that leaves the Big 12 in shambles with just eight teams. Iowa State, Oklahoma State, TCU, West Virginia, Kansas State, Texas Tech, Baylor, and Kansas. Buy or sell that it makes the most sense for the remaining schools in the Big 12 to split up between the Big 10 and the Pac-12.
And you want to know, so I'll throw one more kind of offbeat one. What do you think of West Virginia to either the ACC and or even maybe, I guess ACC is the only other place they could go. Yeah, they're probably all going in those directions, but maybe West Virginia tries to get into the SEC too. Yes, if I'm a betting man, under over 8 years from now, I won't go the full 10. I'll cut it off at 8. Within 8 years, there will be no longer Big 12. Well, they went from the SWAC to the Big 12. I think there's a good chance the Big 12 disbands. Yes, this was the first domino in the Big 12 going by the board. You know how they could impress me? By changing their name to the Big 8. They were the Big 12 last year with 10 teams. Now they're going to be the Big 12 with 8 teams. What, are you going to get down to 6 and still call themselves the Big 12? If you want to stick together, start by getting the name right and reduce yourself to the Big 8. Maybe that'll help. I don't think so. I think you're right. I think the writing is on the wall, and it could be coming apart.
Bye.
That's Buy or Sell here on CBS Sports Radio. Jody Mack in for Billy R. All right, I got 20-some-odd minutes left. We touched on a bunch of real good topics today. You can pick or choose what you want to hit on the phones. I'll take some calls. I'll give you some more thoughts looking ahead. We're doing some countdown work here. Countdown to the NBA draft. Countdown to the MLB trade deadline. Countdown to an NFL season. Help me count down. On my phone lines, 855-212-4227. Jody Mack for Writer here on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, Andrew Bogus is in with the bottom of the hour headlines and update. AB, what you got?
Jody, I've got Ravens QB Lamar Jackson not practicing today after testing positive for COVID. He was negative in the preceding days, so further testing is underway. Running back Gus Edwards is also tested positive in Baltimore. In Green Bay, the Packers trying to put smiling faces on their ugly offseason with Aaron Rodgers. Whatever happened between QB and team, GM Brian Gutekunst says Rodgers will give them 100% now.
I don't think I've ever seen him be here and go out there on that field and not be all in. You know what I mean? I've always been confident of that. He's a, you know, a true competitor. He's a true professional. So when he steps between those white lines, I've really never seen anything other
According
than that.
To Randall Cobb, the Packers have finalized their trade with the Texans for Cobb, who Rodgers wants back in town. Deshaun Watson is part of the Texans' first training camp practice this morning, and the Colts reportedly signing right tackle Braden Smith to a four-year extension with $42 million guaranteed. Simone Biles will now sit out the individual all-around event in Tokyo to address her mental health. She may still compete in the individual event finals, which start on Sunday. The U.S. women won the first ever gold in 3-on-3 basketball over Russia. The full men's team routing Iran overnight 120-66. And Katie Ledecky won gold in the 1500-meter freestyle, her first gold in three events in Tokyo. Baseball last night, the Giants downed the Dodgers 2-1 with the deciding run scoring in the eighth when Cody Bellinger overthrew third base by 20 feet. L.A. manager Dave Roberts happy Bellinger was out there to make the error.
Obviously, people are going to look at that last in that play in that eighth inning, but just getting him out there, I know he's comfortable out there, and if he played first base every day, probably won a gold glove over there. So it was just good getting him back in the lineup.
Bellinger playing first to protect a bad hamstring. His team is now three games behind San Francisco in the NL West. The Mariners lost one game, 8-6 to the Astros, and made two trades yesterday. They sent stud reliever Kendall Graveman to Houston, then got lefty starter Tyler Anderson from the Pirates. The Yankees dealing relievers Justin Wilson and Luis Cessa to the Reds for a player to be named later after a 4-3 win in Tampa Bay. The NBA Board of Governors officially approved another play-in tourney for next postseason, and the Colorado Avalanche have re-signed captain Gabriel Landeskog for 8 years and $56 million. NHL free agency officially begins at the top of the hour. And now you can go to break, Jody.
Oh, but not before I ask you a question, Bogish. Any truth to the rumor that the Randall Cobb trade from the Texans to the Packers was for two first-round picks, three wheels of cheese, and an autographed Giannis jersey, because they're asking outrageous things for Deshaun Watson. I thought maybe they could get an outrageous return for Randall Cobb, too.
Yeah, and an interesting twist, they're actually sending Aaron Rodgers to Houston to get Randall Cobb, who Rodgers wanted to be in Green Bay.
Yeah, he's got his own plane. I read that the other day. Flew in on his own personal jet, so I'm assuming he sent
must
the jet
nice,
for
Jody.
Yeah, you and I both. Yeah, we'll be waiting quite some time before we get the invite from Aaron to get on his personal plane. Andrew Bogish with the bottom of the hour updates here with us on CBS Sports Radio. All right, Jody Mac from Billy R. Come back. Get phones to the finish. Hit me up at 855-212-4227 on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Coming down the home stretch of a Writer Than You episode here on CBS Sports Radio. Mr. Ryder, not in yet. Fear not. He'll be here in about 17 minutes. He's filling in for Jim Rome this afternoon. Jody Mack in for Billy R. One of Bill's guests today while filling in for Jim Rome is Jim Bowden, the former general manager of both the Cincinnati Reds and the Washington Nationals, who now hosts shows for SiriusXM's MLB Network Radio, does play-by-play for a couple of different outlets, too. I know JB, Jim Bowden, pretty damn well, because I actually hosted a show with him it was less than 2 years. It was, I think, more than a year and a half, but somewhere in that range on SiriusXM's MLB Network Radio. So I know JB quite well. He's great, and he'll have inside information. So you want to stay tuned right here on CBS Sports Radio for the Jim Rome Show, which Bill Ryder will be doing this afternoon. And I enjoyed working with Jim Bowden. And believe me when I tell you, he's tied in. He would amaze me, because something would happen in baseball, and we'd have a show planned out. We'd have a guest or two booked for our four-hour get-together. And then a story would break, and Bowden would just go to his phone, and he would text the general manager that made a deal or was potentially making a deal, and he'd come back on the air during the next break and go, yeah, we've got Brian Cashman coming up in 30 minutes. Yeah, we've got Dave Dombrowski will join us in a half an hour from now. He was amazing. He could get these guys to return his texts and agree to come on the air like within an hour of making a major transaction. So when I tell you that Bowden is well tied in, believe me, that's the case. And he might have some good insights and maybe even break some news and information for you when he joins Jim Rome's show with Bill Ryder, coming up a little bit later in the afternoon. So stay tuned all day. Yes, I will be by my phone. I don't have this supercharger that John Heyman has. We just had John Heyman on. If you missed him earlier, you can get it on the Odyssey.com app, the rewind feature. You go back and get the guests that we have. If you miss them, they're up there for 24 hours. And the spot we did with Heyman today was pretty damn good. Gave us some insight. He thinks the Giants are going to make a move before the trade deadline. They've been the best team in baseball all year. Much to my surprise, you got it. When you get things right, you take credit for it, right? When you get things wrong, you got to take credit for that as well. Not credit, but critique of that as well. I didn't think the Giants were going to be an above 500 team. Good luck to anyone trying to find anybody who thought they were going to be the best team in baseball 100 games in. But I thought there was no way they were a playoff team. They have been. and you can't use the fluke word anymore, that eventually this has got to stop. When you put in 100 out of a 162-game season, fluke is out the window when you have the best record in the sport, which the Giants do. And, yeah, John Heyman said he thinks all three teams out in the West. San Diego has already made a big trade, getting Adam Frazier for the Pirates, the guy who leads Major League Baseball in hits this year. They have an abundance of players with positional flexibility that they can play all over the diamond. Be real interesting to see how Jay Tingler, their manager, handles them down the stretch. But they're in third place right now, even though they have been the most aggressive team. Last calendar year, from last year's trade deadline through to this year's trade deadline, they've been more aggressive than any other team in baseball to make the play to win the championship this year. As John noted for us, they now have a payroll which surpasses the New York Yankees. The Yankees, who have more revenue streams than anyone else in baseball, don't have the payroll that the San Diego Padres do. The small market San Diego Padres. So give their general manager and their ownership group credit for absolutely going for it. If the Padres are going to do that, you know the Dodgers are. They still have the number one payroll in all of baseball. And if they need to spend more money, take on salaries to try and defend their Major League Baseball championship, they'll do just that. And Heyman said, don't count the Giants out, that he thinks they've got a big play left in them. I did see a story last night that tied them to possibly being able to get Chris Bryant from the Cubs. They've got one of the better prospects in baseball, Joey Bart, who was the second overall pick in the draft just a couple of years ago, having a real nice year at AAA for the Giants. He's got an over 900 OPS. Buster Posey has had a major comeback year this year. They probably thought Bart would be taking over for Posey maybe as early as this year. Not necessary. Maybe makes him a little bit more expendable. If they get their hands on Chris Bryant, that would be a major addition for them. And, yes, I think all three teams in the NL West are going to make the playoffs. I know a lot can happen. We've still got a lot of season left to play, but they have built up some latitude and space between themselves and the other teams in baseball for both the divisional championship and both wild card spots. How amazing is that going to be? If San Francisco holds on, here was my take, right, wrong, and indifferent at the start of the season. I thought the Dodgers were absolutely going to win 100 games, and they can, and that the Padres were going to win well over 90, maybe somewhere in the vicinity of 95. Only one of them can win the division. I said, the other one will get that home wild card game, but they're going to have to play a win and you're in or lose and go home type matchup. And I thought they were the two best teams in the entire National League coming into the season. They're not the two best teams in their division. The Giants are the number one team and have had a superior season, and more power to them. Yeah, that's going to be, if the Padres and the Dodgers are playing in that wild card matchup to start the postseason, that'll be a well-watched game. I'll give MLB credit for that. I don't know who has that one, if it's ESPN or TBS or who has that game, but that will be a major showdown game. And how they pit against each other these next couple of days leading up to the trade deadline is going to be very interesting, because the Dodgers already have the biggest payroll in baseball. The Padres are right there with the second biggest payroll in baseball. And the Giants are doing it on a shoestring compared to the Dodgers and the Padres. Wonder what the take is in San Francisco right now. Are they clamoring for a major addition and a major trade between now and the trade deadline? I would think so, even though they have had as phenomenal season as they are. It never hurts to attempt to upgrade. We'll see if the Giants get aggressive. And I also asked Heyman about the NL East, which is a division that I'm always all over, because if I'm not here on CBS Sports Radio, I'm either doing shows on our Odyssey station in Philadelphia, WIP, or our Odyssey station up in New York, WFAN, and that's the Mets against the Phillies. The Mets are in first place as of right now. They have major pitching injury issues with their superstar pitcher Jacob DeGrom being on the IL as of right now. Supposedly, both teams were in the mix for a Pirate pitcher who got dealt yesterday to neither the Phillies or the Mets. Kyle Anderson They had a trade in place with the Phillies for two very young Philly prospects, low A level prospects, A-League catcher and a pitcher. Apparently the pitcher's medicals did not come back as to what the Pirates wanted to see, and they were skittish about it. So they pulled the deal off the table. A Philly reporter, Jim Salisbury, after the Phillies lost last night, said that he was hearing that the Mets had jumped into the pursuit for Anderson, and that that could be not only a shot to the Phillies, but a double shot, because they lose out on a pitcher that they desperately need in their rotation, and the Mets could have gotten him. Well, that didn't happen. He got traded to Mariners, so he's out of the league anyway. But both the Mets and the Phillies are looking to add a starting pitcher. When John Heyman was on with us, he said, Jody, right now the things that he's hearing, can't believe the prices that are being asked for pitching. That so many teams need pitching help that marginal pitchers, like Kyle Anderson, got two very good prospects coming out of the Mariners organization, that if teams are going to make trades for pitching, they're probably going to have to overpay. But for the star players who are available, and yes, I consider Javi Baez and Bryant and Starling Marte of the Marlins, star players, potential all-star level players, that there's just not a desire out there on the open market. The teams aren't willing to give up top prospects to get these guys who are rentals. They're on the final year of their contract, that you might be able to get a superior bat for a lesser price, and you might have to pay a higher price, maybe even an outrageous price, if you're looking to land yourself an arm. And yes, I love this time of year because I'm a baseball wonk, have been. My father was in it for 50 years. So the machinations behind the scenes of doing trades always gets my blood flowing. Hey, I kept it flowing these last couple of days, Monday and Wednesday, for Bill Ryder. He is doing the same again next week, filling in for Jim Rome. So I'll be filling in for him Monday and Wednesday. You can catch me this weekend right here on CBS Sports Radio as well. Thanks to Tommy D, doing an outstanding job producing this one. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the NBA draft. Enjoy the trade deadline. Lots of sports here on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.